Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
All right, so good to be with y'all this morning. If you would, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, it is a pleasure and honor. It's by God's mercy and His grace that I've been afforded this opportunity. Thank you so much. I love your pastor. I love his wife. I love their family. And many of you here that I know, I love and sure miss Illinois. Man, I miss, we've been in Fort Dodge, Iowa for almost 2 years. Next week will be 2 months shy of 2 years that we've been at Harvest Baptist Church under Pastor Marvin Smith there, who spoke here, of course, a few years back, I think. We've been there almost 2 years and been in the ministry now, by the grace of God, almost 25 years. And so very thankful for that, very thankful for my dear wife and my three boys that, I'm trying to think of an adjective for them. I didn't want to say beautiful boys. They're not that beautiful. They're not ugly guys either. My three handsome boys. And so we're thankful for them. And Brother Buto teased about, I'll say, any mental problems that I've had are direct relation to him. All right? That's true. I remember a youth activity. We had paintballers at the hotel where we're staying at. A bunch of paintballers came down yesterday morning to eat breakfast, and I was reviewing some of the message here, and I couldn't think straight, so I went out to the car. And I thought, my mind went back then of we had a camping thing like y'all had this yesterday and Friday and out at my dad's house in Trivoli. And I think it was both you and Dan Burns that went out there and said, "Hit us, Brother Mike," you know. And I had a Tippmann Custom 98 that my brother let me borrow, full hopper, man. And I went like that. And they're standing there turned around like this from a paintball. I was only like 15 yards away, and I just pelted them, man. It was great. It's great. I think he still has scars on his torso for that, and maybe other areas. I'm not sure, in his hinder quarters maybe. But it was fun as a youth pastor, just getting some of that angst out. I remembered that yesterday. A lot of fun times, a lot of good times. And he and Misty were spark plugs in our youth group. There was some youth activities, the kind that you come to serve at, and they were there. They were. The ones. There was a certain core that came, and they were part of that core, and I'm very thankful for that. I often find that those that when they're young and they already have the Lord and have been blessed with the opportunity to have a good foundation, I found that if you live for God when you're young, you got a good opportunity to live for God when you're old. You know, this Christian life, you get out of it oftentimes what we put into it. If we're not connected, it's not God's fault. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the B service. Stay for the B service. Don't just come to this. Stay for the B service, all right? It'd be a lot better than this one, I guarantee. No, but the music's been great. Brother Mark and the whole team up here, really, really good. And boy, that special before I got up. Wow, that was good, folks. That was good. It's a blessing. No, I do appreciate that song, Drew. Psalm 31, we're gonna jump into this. Before I read these verses, years ago, I came to a point in my life where, at the time, I thought it was a brick wall that I hit about 100 miles per hour. What I found since then is that I had a breakdown on the side of the road. You know, often when you're going through something and you can't see on the other side, it can feel very dark. Amen? Amen. Feel very miserable, very confusing. You can be very anxious at that time. I won't go into all the details. The Lord leads me, I may, in some of this, because I can so relate to this passage. That's why you're going to hear about it this morning. God used this passage a while back to speak to me. And then recently, again, when I was reading this passage, something jumped off the page, as sometimes that happens. You're reading, and man, you said, man, that was just for me, and that's really good. And boy, the inside, I haven't seen that before. The Bible's such an awesome book for that. And it was fresh that day. It's fresh this morning. But that breakdown on the side of the road, as it were, has really helped me to regain my focus, helped my family to regain our focus. And Pastor Marvin Smith is a tremendous counselor, tremendous preacher, pastor. He knows how to connect. And I had the opportunity, one opportunity he's given me, not only to be assistant pastor for him, but also to teach in his college. And I taught speech class last year. And what I found myself teaching is I taught these young people that communication has to have a sender sending a message, and then it has to be a recipient. In other words, there has to be a connection between the two. There has to be. And we have the responsibility. I can get up here and flap my gums for the next hour and a half or less. All right, I can do that, okay? But it's not going to do you any good unless you, of your own free will, say, I want to connect. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it's not my responsibility, frankly, to make it penetrate in your heart. I pray and I say, God, use these words as you've used them to be a blessing and help to me to do that for other people. But I can't be you to allow that truth into your heart. I can't do that. You've got to allow God that opportunity today. And so relationships what it's all about. And that's communication is a big part of that relationship. But worshiping, connecting, and serving. That's what it is all about. Don't come to church and not shake hands with somebody you don't know. If you see someone you don't know, take the time to go across the aisle and say, hey, and here's my opener. Hey, I don't know you. I did this morning with JJ, didn't I? I said, hey, I don't know you. All right. And that's the way you do that. Okay. It's not hard, but we've got to connect. We live in a society where people want to disconnect. They want to get on their screen. Okay. And just get on that thing and say, okay, I'm going to connect there, and everything else is going on around them. That was all free. All right, Psalm 31 is where we're going to be today. Psalm 31, let's jump right into it here. And we're going to read some verses. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. I'm going to read an introduction, and then I'll get away from my notes a little bit. And then we're going to go verse by verse and see some things that God hopefully has for us this morning that, that we'll connect with. Verse number one, the Bible says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. David praying to God. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Already he's asking for deliverance and he's asking for salvation. Look at verse number 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Then this next phrase is what jumped off the page here, about a month ago, I think. It says this, in verse number 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Pull me out of the net. I've looked in a couple of commentaries, Matthew Henry, I think I read what Warren Wiersbe had to say about this. And nobody really can say for sure what conditions were in David's life for sure that surrounded his writing here for sure. Was he running from Saul? He could have been. Was it Absalom situation with him? Very well could have been. Whatever the case is, you have to agree, he's crying out to God for help. And you know, there's nothing wrong with crying out to God for help. There's something wrong with God allowing circumstances in our life. And instead of accepting them and saying, God, I need your help to accept this, we blame him for it. Now, I know no one in here would do that. But I happen to go to a church right now, Harvest Baptist in Fort Dodge, Iowa, that is full of transplants. We've got two families in our church that are from a town south of Fort Dodge, Otho. All right, and the little town of Otho. You've not heard of it, probably. And then one of them's from Fort Dodge, but he moved from Minnesota. Okay, so everyone else is from all around the country, from Maine to California to Texas, and above. Everybody from New York. Everybody's from. We just had a couple move from New York. What, a few months ago, the Landolts came. We're all from. We've all connected to this hub. Why? Because people needed help. Can I just encourage you this morning that because you need help, that's a clear indication that you need God's help. Don't look at your circumstances and say it's all over. David didn't do that. He cried unto God. That's the right response. But here he says, pull me out of the net. Jesus said, when he said to teach his disciples to pray, He said, lead us not into temptation. Remember this? And then he said what? From evil. Deliver us from evil. It's a biblical prayer. It's a biblical prayer. Can I say this? There's some things in your life only God can deliver you from. Mom and dad can't do it. Medication cannot do it. Been there. Okay? Your best friend can't do it. Your status on social network and the comments and the likes down below is not going to pull you out of the net that you found yourself in. Now, the net could be self-created. The net could be something that God has said, you know what? You need something in your life. The net could be something that you were born into, frankly. That generational iniquity before you, that's biblical, where it was easier. The dominoes, as it were set up in your life, in effect, in a way that you came into this world, and you're going to have a lust problem. Because look at your uncles. Look at your grandpa. That's biblical, by the way. I don't have time to get into that right now. We've dealt with far too many people for me not to believe that. All right? So, I mean, one guy can take a drink of alcohol, become a social drinker, and the next guy, on the same night at the same party, take the same first drink just like his buddy did, and his life is ruined by the bottle. Divorce ensues because of it, and maybe a father wound from his past, from when he's a little boy and his mom and dad divorced. And the hurt and maybe some abuse happened in his life, or maybe one big traumatic event that happened to him that he never wants to even unveil before anybody ever till the day he dies. How's he going to deal with it? With that drop of liquor that he took, now he's going to medicate with that for the rest of his life. Can I tell you? Everybody in this room, boy, I wish I knew, but I've got a really good idea. I think I do know. Everybody in here has a wound, has a hurt in their life. And maybe you're like a lot of us who have allowed yourself to be caught in a trap. Boy, Elvis sung about that. Remember that? I got that Sirius XM on my radio for a time, a trial on my car. And I went to the Elvis station. And in a moment of flesh, I turned to the Elvis station. Sorry, don't judge me. All right? I can feel that. But that's okay, though, because you're right there with me, Jennifer. All right, so it came on, and this is the song that came on there. All right? I'm caught in a trap. I can't look back, and I love you too much. Yeah. But here's the funny thing. It was recorded live at Suspicious Lies, I think it is. And Leanne knows. And at the end of it, it's just like he never would quit. This was the song that never, and he just kept saying, I'm called in to try, you know, just again and again and again and again. I'm like, Elvis, you're done, all right? Elvis is not in the house. Stop, okay? But he just kept going and going and going. But the funny thing is, all of us can relate. Elvis can relate to being caught in a trap. Being caught in a trap's not fun. It's not a fun thing, okay? I'll be quick with this, but yes, I will. I'll be quick with this. But there was a man that didn't want people on his property between the junior high school in Creve-Coeur, Illinois, where we grew up for a time. And he set a trap, a literal steel trap, on his property to keep kids off his property. And a guy that I know, a friend that I grew up with, 5 years older than me, my brother's age, Tony, he got stuck in that trap. And I remember them carrying him down the road, down Rainbow Drive, two or three junior high kids, and they're carrying him. I'm about 8 years old, and he's got a trap hanging off of his ankle, all right? And I remember seeing that as a kid, and I saw the blood. And I remember this. He couldn't get himself out of it, man. He didn't have the strength to get that thing off of his leg. He said, that really happened? That really happened, all right? He lived. Okay, it's okay. But being caught in a trap is not a fun thing, is the point. He didn't say, well, praise God, I got a trap. Look at this, guys. Come over here. I think there might be more. Let's go. That's not the way it is. Nobody wakes up and goes, well, I tell you what, this turned out so good. I've got an addiction. This is so good. I'm going to have to share this at church. And that's, I'm being facetious very much on purpose, making a light of it, because you know what? Our circumstances sometimes can be pretty pathetic, pretty sad. Amen? And we can go through life, and it's funny because the trap that we're in, the thing that got us into the trap, if we're not careful, we'll use that to medicate for the pain that the trap's caused. It's crazy. And what is that? It's a dog chasing its tail. And like a dog, the Bible says in Proverbs, we'll go back to that. This is gross, but this is what the Bible says. We'll go back to that vomit again and again and again. You say, that's so gross to see a dog do that. And that's the way that we live. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather clean it up and learn how to not puke again. Did I say puke? Sorry. I'd rather learn to not do that, not take in that wrong stuff anymore. Amen? So here's the amazing thing. While David is in a net, he says, pull me out of the net. He didn't say, keep me from it. There are passages. David prays it. Keep me from the snares that they've privily laid for me. Here he says, pull me out of the net. This net, I got in. I'm trapped. I'm caught in a trap. You look up the word net here, it means a man trap. It means a net. It's exactly what it means. And there's a net here. And by the way, it's all in the head. That trap that you have this morning wrapped around your ankle, so to speak, it all started right here. And it doesn't matter, again, if it's something you headlong walked into, a door that you opened and inadvertently got in that was privily laid, secretly laid there by the enemy, or if it's some dark place that God has you right now, and you look at that like, man, I just caught in this. I cannot get out. David knows your circumstances. Job knew your circumstances. Paul knew your circumstances. Jesus, of course, a man of sorrows, knows your circumstances. And he says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I want to talk to you about David's attitude this morning. It was as much time as we have left here about his attitude. In these verses, what I want you to see is that he said, pull me out of the net. So we have to conclude he's in the net. When he prays this prayer, he's in a net. If we're not careful, we'll be critical of other people and we'll be hopeless ourselves because we're in a net. We come in here this morning, we don't want anybody to see our chain that still got us in bondage. Because we sing the song, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Well, glory to God, he set me free. But our experience as a believer has been, we're still bound. It's amazing. Positionally in Christ, we know we're set free, but we have a hard time connecting, operating in that freedom that he's given us. It's all right here. It's all right here. And so let the word of God change you this morning. Let it convert you. Let it convert your mind, your emotions, your very will to act upon what David acted upon. Here's what he said. The first thing he said while he's in the net is verse number one. Look at it, if you would. Verse number one. He said his trust was in the Lord. In verse number one, David prays, and he says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I looked up that word, and it says to flee. To flee for protection, to confide in. Isn't that something? To flee for protection. You know, sometimes we get hurt, and we want to run from God, not to God. God allowed the hurt for you to run to him. Amen? Like a little child. Look at that, man. A child gets hurt. Who's he run to? Mom. You know, don't run to dad. You know, sometimes you can run to dad. Sometimes dads will be okay. Most dads will go, get away from the kid. You bother. Go to your mom. Where's mom? Where's your mother? All right? And I ask where's mother all the time. Just because, you know, grass needs, where's mom? The grass needs cut. No. But we want, there's security in that. Well, there's security for the child of God in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. In thee do I put my trust. And the second thing I want you to notice is found in verse number two. Check this out. He says, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. And then he says, I want you to check this out too. I'm sorry, I want to come back up to verse number one. He says, let me never be ashamed. Let me never be ashamed. You know, guilt and shame are two different things. Guilt is something that God put in mankind to get us to run back to him. There's nothing wrong with feeling guilty over your sin, okay? But false guilt is not good. The devil coming back and saying, well, what about 10 years ago? And that's when you look in Smutty Face's face and you say, what about 10 years ago? It's under the blood, amen? Well, we got a lot of people in here today. You're not dealing so much with guilt. Now it's transferred into shame. And see, shame, that's what, that word ashamed, I looked it up in the Hebrew, it means to pale or to dry up. And we've got people, because of the net that we find ourselves in, we're pale. We have no life. We have no resilience to us. We've got no fervor for the Christian life because we feel like, well, I guess it's just the way it has to be. I guess I just got to carry on like this the rest of my life with this trap on my foot. Well, David didn't do that. He said, God, I'm in a net. I want you to pull me out. And while he's in the net, he says, I'm trusting you. While he's in the net, he says, I am not ashamed. Because if the devil can get you to get ashamed over something you did 10 years ago, 10 days ago, last week, last night, this morning, if he can get you to dwell in shame, you will be rendered useless for the kingdom of God and his work. It's hard to witness to somebody in a drunken stupor. It's hard to do, isn't it? When you're controlled by that substance. There's nobody here today that's in a drunken stupor. But there might be somebody here today that got drunk this week. But can I tell you this? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. Bible says in Proverbs, don't even look at it. When the wine is in the cup, it moves itself to the right. When it gives a color and all that, at the last, it stingeth. There it is, like an adder. That's what it does. It bites like a snake, man. It's poison is what it is. Somebody say amen. But boy, it sure looks good. Boy, we was driving here the other day, and I saw the big Budweiser, man, and Budweiser plant, you know, and where they're hauling that junk off to everywhere. You know, that stuff, it'll bind you. It's destructive. But watch, some of you may have that net. I don't know. I didn't even plan on saying that. But that's an easy net to fall into. But watch, the devil comes down and he says, shame on you. You call yourself a Christian and you've got a drinking problem. You call yourself a Christian and you've got a lust problem, sir. You call yourself a Christian and just fill in the blank. And you said a bad word. You know what you are? You're human. You know what you are? You're a sinner saved by grace. I'm all for it. Man, I love the words. And I love the music this morning. I love the words in Christ alone. No scheme of hell, is it? No power of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Can't get me out, man. Do you think that your sin, your mistake, your problem, your chain, your net that you allowed yourself to get into, do you really think that's too big for God to get you out of? Watch this. Do you really think that's such an awful deal? Do you really think that your performance in overcoming that net is the basis for God's love for you? Can I tell you something? The devil wants you to think that, and he wants you to run around in shame thinking, oh, and to pale. I pale in comparison to everybody else. I can't be a soul winner pastor. I can't go to life groups. I can't teach a life group. Don't ask me. Don't ask me to drive a bus. Don't ask me to even come to church much. Don't ask me to raise my hands in worship. I really can't do that because the Bible says lift up holy hands. Positionally in Christ, I believe I've got holy hands. I believe in the net that God can still be a help to me. You take it up with God. He's the one that put in this Bible, pull me out of the net. While David was in the net, he's saying, God, I'm still trusting you. I don't even know what net it was, but I know this. We've got this idea that we got a very performance-based mentality in our country amongst Baptist churches, that you do a certain thing, you'll be accepted. Can I tell you what? I'm accepted by God, and I'm not condoning sin and living in sin, but I'm saying if you've got a sin problem, and you all do, it's just different levels, and it shows up differently in your life. And when it does, deal with it. Amen? Don't gloss it over. I'm not saying hide it. No. I'm saying don't cop out by saying, God, I've got this sin problem. I'm in a net. David didn't say, I'm in a net, so I'm going to just quit. He didn't do that. Instead, he said, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to be ashamed. Let's look at another attitude that David had while he was in this net. Let's see. Next thing, let me get to my outline here. He still depended on the Lord for his leading and his guidance. Look at verse number 3. Psalm 31:3 says this. He says, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lead me and guide me. You ever felt like, God, I've done too much, I've gone too far away from you for you to lead and guide me? You ever felt that way? Tell you what, when my relationship with my boys isn't right, when there's a glitch, when there's something between us, I'm the proactive one every time. I'll say, what's up? So you doing okay? You doing all right? And by the way, let me just say this because I may not, it's toward the end of the outline, I may not get to it. But here's what I want to say. When my kids mess up, I've never went to them, and they've all done it. All our kids have done it. By the way, parent, don't blame yourself when your kids mess up. When your adult kid messes up, don't blame yourself. Somebody say amen right there. Because that's a big one. The devil wants to attach the shame to you. I know a good man right now that got a phone call a couple weeks ago from our pastor. And he just, as soon as he picked up the phone, he started weeping. Because he said, Pastor, I so badly needed to hear you. Why? Because the devil's trying to beat him up that all of his kids' mistakes are because of him. What he should have done differently. We can't stay in that net. We can't. Don't let the devil put you in that net. But ask God, pull me out of that net of depression. A lot of times it's just a lie that we believe that's created the whole net. But when my kid is messed up and he's fessed up and we're getting right. Let's say I catch my kid in a sin and I catch him and he's caught in a trap. You know what I'm not going to do as a dad? I'm not going to go, I'm not going to kick him and say, you stupid kid, I told you never to do that and you did it, man, you idiot. I tell you what, I hate you. I don't love you anymore. We wouldn't think of doing that. I hope to our kids, amen. We would love them unconditionally, amen. What makes us think that the Heavenly Father would love us less when we get caught in a trap? Do you really think the love of God is, do you think he has a higher standard? Listen, the blood of Christ covered your son's sin. You might want to get doctrinally right on that and let your behavior follow the right doctrine on that. Because this stuff, you know, performance, my goodness, forget your performance. Our performance is in him. He performeth all things for me. He doeth all things well. It's Christ in me, all right? For it is God which worketh in you to do, to will and to do, to even want to do, all right, of his good pleasure. It's the Lord. So when someone trips up, someone messes up, but they fess up, don't keep them down, amen? Help them to get back up. Help them. We're supposed to help them in meekness, the spirit of meekness, the Bible says, all right? And consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. It's too much of this higher. There's a difference between you and them. It's just either your sin hasn't been found out, or we just don't know what your sin is, or your sin ain't going to show up because it's secret, and it'll be revealed at the judgment seat. You know, but the point is, we're all in a trap to some degree. David himself, the psalmist. Can I remind you? David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. And this is just my opinion, because I don't know, you know, sequentially, which psalms, I don't know that perfectly off the top of my head, but I've read a few authors that said this, his best psalms, and I think so too, if what they say is right, were written after that terrible act. You know why I think that is? He finally got a hold of the grace of God. He finally, and I say the grace of God, I know that's Old Testament. He says in this passage, thou hast redeemed me. Old Testament. It's amazing. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I came to encourage you. God's not done with you. Somebody say amen. He's not done with you. And that's exciting. That's good. That's wonderful. That's an exciting thing. I love it. Let's look at another thing, and we're almost done here. Another thing was he said, and that's a verse I was going to bring up there, thou hast redeemed me. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I looked up the word redeemed. This is the Old Testament Hebrew word for redeemed, and a little different than the New Testament Greek word, and this is what it means. I love this. It means ransomed, rescued, and I like this word, released. It means severed, cut loose. Wow. There's a, if I could cue that image up here. There's a picture we're going to show you here. A couple years ago, we went on vacation down to Mobile, Alabama, or that area, and saw a guy off of a dock, and he was throwing a trap out to catch crabs. And and it had weights all on the end, and he'd throw that thing out, and it would spread out way, you know, way big. Anybody ever seen one of those? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, and you can catch fish in them, whatever, you know, and then it's got a nylon cord, and then you pull it real quick, and when you pull it real fast, then that whatever's in the net, obviously, will pull up, and then you got to kind of do that quick, you know, and he's throwing it off the dock there, and I'm watching him. And the only thing he caught was just little, you know, I don't know what they were, perch, whatever they were down there. And but he never did catch a crab while I was watching. Watching for 2 days, and he never caught a crab. That's kind of bad. But anyway, there it is right there. This right here is a blue crab, okay? And this is actually, I think, in a northeastern state. But it's in a net. Now, here's what I want to ask you. And I want everybody to answer the question emphatically for me. Kind of do that for you. I know it's early and you're tired. But I want you to just answer the question, a yes or a no. Can that crab, that blue crab, get out of that net by himself? Yes or no? No, he can't. You know what he's got to do? He's got to have someone pull him out of the net. Now, unfortunately for him, he's going to have somebody pull him out of the net. All right? And then he's not going to remember much after that. Life's going to kind of be different from then on. Okay? And that blue crab's going to be on a plate somewhere and is going to be happy, probably by the same hand that's got him there. But here's the great thing. As that hand right there is the hand of, the enemy, the one who set that trap. Can I tell you? There's another hand. There's another hand. And you better reach out for that hand. Too far, too long for my life, I've looked at the wrong hand while I was in my net. That hand kept me down. That hand kept me in the net. That hand slapped me every time I realized again, man, I'm in this net. What do I have to do to get out of this? Who can help me? How can I get help? I'm in the ministry. I'm not perfect. By the way, no one in the ministry is perfect. We all, and it's, again, not condoning sin by any measure. It's not what I'm doing today. What I'm saying is we all deal with sin. Not accepting sin into our lives. But I'll tell you what, this net here, a poor little crab, he's got to be pulled out. Who's going to pull you out of your net? How's it working so far for you? You say, well, if I tell someone I'm in a trap, I waited a lot of years before I told somebody I'm in a trap. I waited a lot of years. Too long. Now, I've been through the depression. That's what started it all. I remember going out to eat with you, Brother Josh. I said, I haven't slept in days. And I said, I've lost weight, lost close to 40 pounds. Anxiety. I never knew I had an anxiety problem until 2 years ago. Sleepless. Terrible. I don't even want to talk about all that we went through, all I put my family through. I put my family through. I remember a couple times as a teenage boy saying to my youth pastor, hey, I'm caught in a trap. Can you help me? Here's a book. Here's this. And forget about it. If I would have done what that middle word there says, if I'd had somebody help me, it's no disrespect to my youth pastor, if I had somebody connect with me and help me early on, that'd have been nice. But you know what? God's sovereign over it all. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the trap that I've dealt with. I'm getting out of my trap. Somebody say amen. I'm looking to the right hand to pull me out of the net. I can't get myself out of there. I cannot do it myself. Tried for years. Get myself out of that net. Okay. So Brother Henson, what's your problem? I got three boys. All right. And mental. All right. I youth pastor to that guy. Same problem everybody in here's got. Sin. Same problem. Depression, anxiety just revealed it. God brought me. God was so good to me that he brought me to a point of contrition. I thought this verse yesterday. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God doesn't despise it. That means he appreciates a broken and a contrite heart. So when God breaks your heart, not if, when. Because if he hadn't had it happen, he will. You say, why does God not love us? No, he's tired of you ignoring him. He's tired of you being in a trap and being content to be in a trap. That's a lot of you here today. And I'm not trying to be mean. I didn't come to, you know, slap you around. I came to exhort you and uplift you if I can, or for God to do that through his word. But don't be content in your trap. God, pull me out of this net. Why? Because if you do that, and if you change your attitude about your trap, you just might be, God will help you, and your whole life could be helping others out of the trap that they're in. Because you know what? You can walk out these doors, and it won't take long at all. They're driving up down this road every day. They're down at Casey's. They're down there at Menards. They're down there at Walmart right now. Everybody, they've got a trap. By the way, don't be judgmental about the trap that people are in this room or out of this room. The sin that does so easily beset us. There's besetting sin. It's so easy. So don't be judgmental. Especially about a pastor who's got issues. Because you know what? He's a human. We all have issues. And by the grace of God, he'll pull us out of the net. I want to give you one more thing and we're done. I got 1 minute. Yes. One more thing. In verse number 7 of Psalm 31, well, there's so many things. I would wish that you would read the rest of the psalm, because I want you, in this context, David's in a net, obviously, or he wouldn't be asking for God to pull him out of the net. And whilst he's in the net, he's praying all these things. And he's saying, God, you're all of this to me. And I'm asking you to do all this for me while I'm in this net and asking for you to pull me out. See, I think we've got this, our mind's been conditioned that until and unless we get to this point, God cannot be to us what we need him to be. Can I tell you? He can be everything you need him to be today, right now. He's your provider now. But I'm not perfect. Yeah, exactly. And he saved you that way. So what makes us think that we've got to attain some level of Christianity before God will go, now I'll bless your marriage. Now I'll bless your battle against sin. Now I'll bless your child rearing. I'll bless you with that promotion, that good job. I'll bless you financially. Whatever it is, we think that we've got to raise a certain level. David didn't think that. David says, I'm in a net, but God, you're still my strength. You're still my rock. You're my fortress. I'm not ashamed. I've confessed and I'm not paling and drying up. I'm not living in false guilt. I'm redeemed. I'm in the hands of God. Amen. That was his attitude. He said, I'm going to rejoice in thy mercy. In thy mercy. In verse number 9, he says, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. I love that. He said, I'll rejoice in thy mercy. In verse number 7, he said, I'll be glad and I'll rejoice in thy mercy. If there's anything I'm done, if there's anything that I get excited about, it's the mercy of God. The Bible says in Lamentations 3 that greatest, he talks about his loving kindness, talks about his truth, he talks about his mercy, his compassions fail not, and he said, they're new every morning. That's where we get the song, because it says, great is thy faithfulness. He's faithful when you're not. But I don't deserve to be faithful. That's okay. He's faithful when you're not. Why don't you trust his faithfulness and change your attitude about your trap? Here it is, and I'm done. God's tired of you being content in your trap and letting that be your hang-up, your excuse that you can't help. You can't reach out and worship, connect, and serve at Grace Baptist Church because you've got a trap. Here it is. I smoke. I don't smoke. I'm giving an illustration here, all right? It's not my particular trap, all right? My trap, again, is I have 3 sons, all right? And I'll close with this. And I actually thought about this and used this the other day. Good buddy of mine, I won't use his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Good buddy of mine that passed away not too long ago. People come through his business, and he'd witness to him. He had a track written up on how to get to heaven, and it had a real, really one of the coolest tracks. And he gave it to people who came on his property and did business with him. Was he a perfect guy? Oh, no. He knew he wasn't perfect. Here's what I liked about him, all right? He had a trap. I don't know when he started smoking cigarettes, but he started when he was younger, I'm sure, like most did. Most of us did. I started when I was 8. I quit when I was 10. Hello, I'll just kind of throw that out there. All right, it's true. All right, it's true. But you've probably seen this. I walked into his office on more than one occasion, and he's smoking cool cigarettes, and there's a giant print Bible on his desk laid open and tears in his eyes. That's what I'm talking about. He said, God, pull me out of the net. You say, boy, he never got over it. I would rather be the guy in the net that's saying, God, pull me out and witnessing to people and not letting the trap keep me back as an excuse to not witness to people. Somebody say amen. We need an attitude that changes about our trap that we're in. And by the grace of God, we'll shake that trap off and we'll get that thing off of us. We'll get our mind renewed, because a lot of time it's a stinking thinking the enemy puts before us, and we're our own worst enemy oft times. Well, there's so much in here I didn't get to. Maybe part two later. Come back tonight. Tonight we'll be talking about a mountain. The mountain that's before you, we'll talk about that mountain. But don't be content in your trap. Ask God, pull me out of the net, but don't let that keep you from serving God. Let God be to you what he was to David in his trap. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.